Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the gang is all here. That's right. Yes. That's right. I'm Jerry and I'm here. Max is here. Edward is here. And
yes, I'm not lost.
Yes, and well, I because David's been technically unavailable for a couple of weeks now. So dun dun dun, David is back as well.
Yes.
Edward and David, welcome back, guys. It's brilliant to have you. This is our first four-person show. Yes, and the reason we are doing it is because this is actually our 50th podcast episode. Yes, and do we have anything special planned? Yes, we're going to have four opinions on Everton stuff, and that's our super specials. Yeah, it's a normal show, except we're rolling four deep. For the pod people out there, just to kind of give you a summary of what our show is going to look like, we're going to start you off with a Swansea reaction, and I'll give you a hint. Not great.
Crap.
Yeah, it's not great, folks. It's the way you feel, just so you know. Next, we're going to talk about the rumors about Allardyce, Walsh, Marcel Bruns, Raiola, who's going to get fired? Who's going to come in? We don't know, but there's a bunch of stuff floating around. Let's talk about it. And lastly, we're going to talk a Newcastle preview. That's who we play this weekend. Yeah.
And technically not a weekend, though.
Oh, is it? What day is it, actually?
Monday night.
Oh, it's a Monday. Monday night football. Yes. If I say that here in America, people look at me like I'm an idiot. So, so guys, just to kind of let's funnel in. How many of you were actually at the U23 game?
Yeah, I was.
David, Edward, Max. I'm assuming you spared your feelings and decided to not put yourself through that.
No, I didn't put myself through it. To be honest, I think after because I was at the Grand National on Saturday, and so unfortunately that caused me to miss the Swansea game. And you know,
how'd you get on in the National?
That's what I was going to ask.
One a good few. I think the food bill's covered for the next few weeks, Jerry. So
that's what you said you needed, man. That's awesome.
But to my surprise, I got a lovely surprise when I looked at my phone and I saw Everton 1-0 up, and I think that put a bit more confidence in myself and made me splash out the cash a bit more. But
that's coming in.
You know, Everton just do Everton. They never ended on a high for you, do they? So I think that kind of influenced me feelings towards the under-23s game, because I was definitely going to watch it, but I know I thought it was an 8 o'clock kickoff, but it was a quarter to, wasn't it, or a half past?
It was a seven.
Oh, well, it was
seven,
it was
early, yeah.
So I think I missed. I saw update going through, and as soon as I saw, you know, we are 1-0 down, 2-0 down, I thought, same old against Liverpool, really. Yeah.
To be fair, it wasn't one of them games at all. Wondering how many people at home would be thinking a classic, but as I said, for 20 minutes, Everton went on top, and then they conceded the soft penalty, and they just couldn't find a way back into the game, and then they scored an own goal. And I think from there, it's knocked the stuffing out of them. And
yeah,
defensively, they weren't too bad. The third goal, they were all over the place. But I think it was offensively, and I love Fraser Hornby, by the way. I think he's quality. He's going to be a good player. But he was the man. He was kind of charging down the ball, but you know that classic where the lone striker chases the ball down, but the midfield don't go with him. So there was just triangles around him, and then when we did go forwards, there was too wasteful, nothing happening, and it was just a frustrating performance.
The way I saw it, I think we just like too wasteful. Like in fact, it was opposite of the first team, because we went too quick with the ball, and everyone was just too panicking, like getting rid of it all the time. And doing all these like stupid tricks and that.
Who are you talking about there? Because I know one guy.
I have a guess who you're talking about.
Go on, Jerry.
I thought you were saying talking about David Hinnan.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah.
Every time I've watched the under-23s a lot this year, and every single time, all he seems to do is he's like a Yannick Bolasie type player. Mm. You know, there's no end product at all with him. And you know, I'm not getting on his back because I liked him. You know, when he first came, we were all calling for him to be in the first team. But trust me, I've watched a lot of the under-23s this year. He's not good enough at the moment. I'm not saying he never will be, but he needs to be honest, produce them.
I think he's just trying to do something different and like get actual attention for it, though. Because if you think about it, he's been there how many years now? 3 years at least in the under-23s, and not got any further when other people have.
So there's your alarm bell straight away.
Yeah,
you know, the lads who have come in and he hasn't. I think that he went on loan to Fleetwood as well, if I remember correctly, not so long ago, and he's back in Ireland under 23. So
I thought that Sambu was, I think it was Sambu, wasn't it, that came on and scored?
Yeah.
He was impressive when he did come on. I thought he was decent on the ball.
Yeah, when Hinnan went on loan, I think he had really injury issues, which seems to be like when young players go on loan to championship sides, that's what you tend to see often, is they're just an injury-riddled year, you know? And
Galloway, Garber, Hinnan, I can think of, that's three.
And there's a long Dowell. List. I know when Dowell first went out to the championship, he was having issues. But then they go back and they keep getting stronger and they keep getting stronger. And I think it's a really good thing. But Hinnan never really, he didn't really go very often. And right now his contract's almost up. You know?
I'd be very surprised if Everton offer him a new contract. But then it's unfair, I suppose, because although I say I've watched a lot of them, you know, I haven't even watched all the home games, never mind the away performances, so I don't know what he's doing throughout the whole year, but I'd probably watch the course of the fixes this year, and he hasn't done that much for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
it was quite a turnout, actually, that night, wasn't it? A crowd. Lot for it.
I don't know if I would have elected to go if I wasn't being paid to go, because I was there last week, and they got beat 4-0 at home by West Ham. It just felt everybody's already kind of down to us a little bit. Kind of like the first team.
Flip-flops on already.
I was psyched they put it on YouTube. That's you know, doffing the cap to the club for
don't
doing
they normally
that.
Do it?
That is awesome.
Don't they normally do it? They don't
normally do that.
Mm.
Right? Yeah, I was psyched. I was like, holy hell, I get extra football today. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on, sorry, mate.
Oh, no, I was going to say, but then I saw us give up that soft penalty after what I thought was a dominant performance to that point. Mm. And then I saw an own goal, and I was like, you know what? I don't need to hurt myself today. You know what I mean? Because I do care about watching the kids play. You know? Oh, it was bad. I felt so bad for him. Because I think Unsworth does well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that with that level,
it'll be interesting to see how the summer goes with Unsworth. Whether he'll still be there or not, I think.
Well, he's got the shaven look at the minute, so he's worried.
I like it.
Where did that?
Martin's getting trouble in that, like Martin or Coleman.
Well, you know what? To be fair, I don't think necessarily.
Don't leave.
don't leave. I don't think necessarily he's at risk in terms of Everton kind of sacking him. I think he may be in a position where he thinks he needs to move on.
He needs to go out and test himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's definitely been a change of almost feeling or tone with that under 23 side from last season. I think that move he had to the first team for a while has left some sort of a taste in his mouth, maybe.
Well, it probably has a little strange vibe around with the team as well. Not just with him, but the team's like, oh, you were there, and then we had someone else, and we're trying to get used to them, and now you're back. And it's just kind of and you knew that he's interviewing for other jobs, which he did.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, you know, he was really close to the Oxford job, right?
Yeah.
They've formed sort of bonds since the Oxford thing came up, hasn't it? I think, like, personally, I've seen, like, the results have gone down a lot. A bit like Watford, in a way.
When they had City about a month ago, they could have still been in a shot with the title there, and they were 2-0 up, and they ended up getting beat 4-3, and that was basically it, gone. And, you know, you're kind of still in your head thinking that they're there or thereabouts, they just can't win it. But when you have a look at the league now, they're quite far down. They're around 6th or 7th, I think. So they have really dropped off. But
oh well,
it's a strange time for them though, because
I'm getting used to the first team.
There was a decent amount of U23s that have come up though that were kind of key players that we've also loaned out. We loaned out a lot of key players, and some of them came up. So it's weird. They're in transition a little bit. But I think players like, you know, we'll see a lot more players like Lewis Gibson next year.
He was impressive, actually. I thought he was all right.
I mean, he was given the captain's armband, and what is he, like 17? He's really young.
And we should give it a shout out. I got pulled on this yesterday by Patrick Boyland.
I saw it. I totally saw it.
But he had a very valid point, to be fair. He said, you know, we should give a shout out to the under-18s, and we should, because they've pretty much sewn up second, I think it is. Yeah. They have had a decent season, so you know, hopefully there's some good players going through there. Elliot Richards, the captain there, he's a good player. Mm. And I'm definitely not just saying that because he followed me on Twitter a couple of days ago.
Now we all know that too. Now, what's the young player that played with the first team briefly, only for like 5 minutes in the he's like 16 years old.
Gordon.
Anthony Gordon. Yeah.
So he's playing with 18s, right?
Mm.
The Oracle over there, Max.
He's a machine. So yeah, a little bit disappointing for the U23s this season, but the 18s are doing well, which is awesome. I'll keep watching them anytime they're on, though. So yeah, Everton, keep putting them on YouTube. Let's do it. So I guess that's it for U23's derby that didn't go so well. So we should get into the Swans reaction, which might turn into us just staring at the cameras. Because that's sort of, it's kind of how we felt. Really bored, I think. Just a dull game. Edward, we saw your instant match reaction, where you were, you're once again not a happy camper, my friend. I think we all can kind of guess this, but what's the vibe like? What was the vibe like at the game?
I think, to be honest, the entire game, basically, I think, was the worst away support I think I've ever been in. Like, I mean, I think even Leicester and that was better. Because, like, there was no singing right off from the off. And to be honest, there was only really one chant that was on throughout the entire game. And I'm going to try and keep it PG, so I won't repeat
that one. That one was a negative one, was it not?
Yes. Very derogative. Very derogative towards a certain Mr. Sam Allardyce. But, I mean, once we got the goal, the mood perked up a bit. But then as soon as halftime came, everyone knew we weren't going to keep the lead. Like, I mean, I was even saying it, like, halftime, unless we go out fighting, we are not going to hold it because we're Everton. And we can't seem to do that at the minute. And then once we conceded that goal, I mean, I think actually most fans will say at the end of that game, we were very lucky to get a point out of that. Like, I mean, and Swansea, they were incredible support all game.
That was a huge game for Swansea. And I think me and Jerry discussed it in depth that, you know, we expected Swansea to come out fighting just to distance themselves from that relegation battle. And with Jordan Ayew coming back into the side, he was also always going to be a massive threat. And lo and behold, he got Swansea's goal. What really surprised me about Everton, although, as I said, you know, I expected Swansea to be raring to go from the off, was the amount of shots that we let on goal. Mm. I think it was 11 Swansea shots, and the amount of time Jordan Pickford was tested, it surprised me, really. I expected the midfield and the defence to be really aware of what they were up against. But I think there was one instance, I just caught the highlights, and there was an instance where Luciano Narthing absolutely put Adam Runner on Wayne Rooney, and then Wayne Rooney ended up on his arse. I mean, and he was bearing down on goal, and if it wasn't for Idrissa Gueye coming across, then, you know, we probably would have been 1-0 down there. But I think this adds weight to the argument that Schneiderlin and Rooney struggled to play together because, you know, the how open that defence was left, shall I say, you know, going into next season, that really needs to be addressed and sorted. The defence really needs a lot more cover than it's been getting.
Yeah, yeah, Max, I think we made a mistake, though, of thinking that we felt confident that Swansea were going to go attacking and they were going to be lively. However, we made the mistake of thinking our manager might go on the offensive and that we might think, hey, you know, we got nothing to lose right now. We got not a whole lot to play for. Let's just go. And what a letdown. We were idiots, just saying. But you know what? In hindsight, how could we not see this coming? You know, it's Sam. How could we not see it coming? David, did you manage to come around and see anything about this game?
No. So when you said we didn't see it coming, I 100% did see it coming. I was at Finch Farm in the morning. I had the under-18 game, and I'd already got me 90 minutes there. And, you know, they were playing bottom of the league, and they were winning 2-0, pulled back 2-2, and eventually won 3-2. And it was just a limp performance. And I thought, you know what, I've got no interest in putting myself through this for another 90 minutes with the first team. The issue is the season's done. Make no bones about it. We can try and big up any kind of games that are left, but it's finished. There's no sort of competitive edge at all left of this season. It's going to basically be friendlies under the tag of Premier League games, and that's exactly what it was going to be on the weekend. The only competitive edge would be coming from the home side, not Everton. I didn't expect us to win the game at all. In fact, I was very surprised that we actually got anything out of it. Mm-hmm. I've got no interest in watching them at the moment. I will do. Certainly the home games, I'll be there. But I just want the season to be over with.
Go on.
No, you're all right, good.
See, the whole thing.
You probably saved me, to be honest, mate.
I actually think he will go for it in one away game in particular. And I think that's going to be the final one at the end of the season. Not just because it's the final game of the season, but because it's against a former team. And he seemed to like to go for it against former teams. Palace.
I don't even know what Allardyce's go for is, to be honest.
I was just going to say, what's pissed me off big time is the fact that, you know, when he was pulled up and when he was asked about, has he achieved his goal? He said that, you know, the goal had already been achieved. And, you know, to be so short-sighted and to have such a limited view on the job that you need to perform in, I really don't understand, as a, you know, looking at a Premier League manager, how once he feels that his team are away from relegation, how he doesn't reassess and look at what he can achieve rather than just holding his hands up and saying, you know, we've done what we need to do. I think that really did. It summed up the approach that we've had for every single game. Yeah. Really.
Here's my thing. You know, Allardyce become such a hated figure there, which I totally get.
Yeah.
But I don't hate him. And just hear me out before we go into it. I don't like him in any way. I've made that pretty clear. But Allardyce has come in and done exactly what we expected to do.
Yeah.
And basically exactly what he got signed up for. The big issue goes back to we never needed to press that panic button when we did. And that's it. So that's where the frustration for me comes into it, because we knew we'd beat the teams below us at home, which we've done. You know, we knew we wouldn't pick many points up away from home, which we haven't. And we knew we wouldn't be competitive against the teams above us, and we haven't. But that is the blueprint for any Allardyce team. So that's where the frustration come in, really, isn't it? That it's not so much... So I don't hate him. It's basically like going to B&Q and buying red paint and then complaining that the paint's red.
This is
what we've got as a manager.
I agree completely with what you've just said. It was, you know, that this is why the majority of my anger came out, you know, before when he was just appointed, before he'd even play a game, because it was also almost as if it was, you know, there was a projection of what would happen with Allardyce as manager of your club, the fan and the club become very segregated, I think, and it seems to be the manager doesn't so much represent the club. The manager stands on his own and is for his own image, and I feel like that's Sam Allardyce down to a T. And that's why I predicted all these problems, and seeing them happen in front of me, it doesn't really surprise me.
Takes the praise, shifts the blame.
Yeah,
basically.
What David said, I'm going to agree. I don't hate him, okay? Because as we talked about last week, Max, it still could have gone worse. This whole thing could have gone worse. Where I'm disappointed is I was hoping. This is a stupid thing to hope, so I'm just going to say it. But it's a stupid thing to hope. But I was hoping that maybe Allardyce surprises us. Maybe he comes in with all these statistics and pragmatism, and it works. Maybe that would happen. And that is not. We are so not surprised. We are sitting here with blank looks on our faces because we are not shocked in any way. You know, Allardyce says, my goal has been reached. We've already reached the goal. Well, then, dude, why are you trying to salvage a tie against Swansea? Tell me that. Why are you trying to get a draw? Why are you just trying to salvage 1 point? What are you thinking? You know, we get scored on, and his response is, let's get a center back in there. Let's get another. Let's take an offensive player out. Let's take out an attacker and put in Funes Mori. I'm glad to see Funes Mori play. I'm glad. You know, great. He's getting some minutes. But, dude, do you want to win? What's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, I know some people that are a bit like, when Allardyce did come in, they were like, oh, right, well, you know, it's at least we'll know we'll be all right, I guess. But I was actually willing, I think I said, I was willing to give him a chance right until, I think it was normally around United, maybe, and then I realised we're not going to do anything with this guy. Because I was willing, I was really, really, in a way, wanting him as well to take this opportunity, grab the bull by the horns, and go for it, and actually prove himself not to just be a small club manager.
I agree with you.
He's just not done it. He's not done it, and to be honest, if he did get seventh this season, I would have said, you know what, stick around next season, you know, prove to all of us that you can do better. But no, he's not done it for me, and to be honest, I just want him gone, even now.
I'm sure I said on the one of the podcasts that we've done that if he was to stay on as manager, he needed to win in the derbies, he needed a good cup run or to win the cup, I needed to get seventh. He literally hasn't achieved any of them.
David, I thought what you actually said was what Sam needs to do.
There you go.
You know I'm gonna bullshit. That's not cool. you just took the air out of the joke.
It's the way you set me up. Go on, we have to hear it now.
No, set up the bat.
Like I thought you were gonna. Sam needs to salvage a tie, salvage 1 point against Swansea away, and then he'll get to keep his job. See, the punchline is blown. So my most infuriating moment of the game was Funes Mori coming in for Bolasie, just because I think strategically that pisses me off. That's my most angry moment because go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to ask one question. Why did Gay come off for Bannangeme?
I thought it was because he was coming off an injury and he was worried that he was going to get hurt late on.
Yeah, he's coming off this injury. Funnily enough, I know I saw a lot of Evertonians letting out a lot of anger with that Bolasie for Funes Mori substitution. But looking at the substitution for me, all the lads that came on, I was glad to see in the team. And I know that sounds like...
No, I totally agree with that. That is true.
I'm looking for the needle, a needle in the haystack, trying to find a positive here. But, you know, to see Bannangeme get some minutes, to see Vlasic particularly come back into the side, and to see, as you say, Funes Mori coming back from injury, I'll take positives from that.
That's literally the next thing I had on the card, that we had a Vlasic signing. Sadly, at the 87th minute, it looks like, which it's not really a whole lot of time for
Vlasic. That's going to be it now. He's not playing for the rest of the season.
And he might not, you know, but it's cool. And the good thing is we didn't play him on the wing. We played him as a center attacking mid.
So that Rooney role, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd love to see him try that. That would be awesome, because I think that's his best position. You know, so it'd be great to give him a whirl there. Great, you know? I'm wondering what he's doing right now that Claussen is not. But you know what? Good. Yeah. He's worked his way back. That's awesome. And Beningame, that's great. He got time. I want him in the squad.
Mm. I don't think we'll ever figure out how to pronounce his name.
I said Beningame forever because that's what everybody on TV was saying. And then everybody changed it to Beningame, and I'm just pissed off. You know? So anyway, whatever.
Hard life, Gary.
All right. So just to clarify really quick, they did score right after Gay went out. I don't think it was because Benny, let's call him Benny, because Benny came in. I don't think it had anything to do with that. But it was kind of a coincidence that right after he went out, they scored.
Mm.
Just saying. Mm.
Look, though, as well, going into that, when you think about it, because you could see Carroll wasn't making a pass, he was making a shot.
Mm-hmm.
It just got very lucky in the fact that it hit the wrong part of the boot.
Yeah, but that, I don't know if you remember when Martinez was manager, like specifics, but you know how many times that happened to us? It was over and over again. A bad bounce happens to go right to their player and he taps it in. That happened over and over again. And I'm convinced that happens when other teams just get lots of opportunities. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it goes back to my point. I think we let far too many shots in on goal. And for the man that was his fault for the goal, I thought from watching the highlights, I thought he had a terrific game in terms of going forward. But Seamus Coleman, just unfortunate with that clearance. It went straight to the Swansea man.
Mm.
But I was really impressed with Seamus Coleman and Cenk Tosun, particularly for our goal. I think seeing Coleman playing the way he is, seeing Baines play the way he is, it gives me hope going forward that, you know, if a new manager is to come in, it'll see that, you know, our attacking potential does come from down the flanks, and it gives the new manager something to go off, really, which is a huge positive given how lost we look in terms of a footballing identity.
As far as who played well, I thought Gay did his thing, his normal thing. You know, I thought he did well. And I thought Coleman, aside from that clearance, but really, I can't.
I thought Schneiderlin actually.
Schneiderlin's been playing all right lately, you know, past two games.
Done something?
Yeah. So right now, though, it was just a game where I didn't think a whole lot of people stood out for good or bad reasons. I just thought we went in with a really negative game plan and our tactics were not optimal, you know? Yeah. And that's what I thought struggled the most was our tactics.
Support was bad and the team was bad, to be honest. It was just crap game all around.
We picked a heck of a year to start a fan YouTube channel, guys, a fan podcast. The Toffee Blues Twitter and Facebook account came out and asked followers for their three word match reaction. So I'm going to go ahead and preface this, okay? There was like so many responses that involved Allardyce and how we need to get Sam out, how he's got a rather abundant chest made of gravy. Yeah. Just all of that stuff is... I left most of those out, okay? The ones that flat out refer to Allardyce, because we know. We know what everybody thinks, okay?
Mm.
I went with the ones that were a little bit different, okay? So, and I'm starting off with possibly the most difficult name to pronounce, and I'm sorry to this poor person. Tolgabet Gelegnayim. So yeah, that's my best attempt.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Talgabed says missing old Everton. Yeah.
Mm.
And that was from Facebook. John Jones said bored to tears.
Is my good friend John Jones.
John Jones from Facebook, yeah. So David's friend.
I'm thinking of a different John. I'm thinking of a different John Jones. Do you know what John Jones I'm thinking of, David?
No. Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. John Bon Jones.
Didn't know he was a blue.
All right, next, Gemma Brown says, make it stop. That's three words from Facebook. Richard Gwynedd Jones says, or asks, season over yet? And Billy Haynes just totally tosses Everton out of the window and says, what's new, John? Just forgets the prompt, and I like that. I like just asking John what's new. You know, that's great.
Asking John Jones.
I think he was asking John from the Toffee Blues.
Shout out to John.
Shout out to John. I've never actually said your name out loud before. I always say it starts with a J.
But he likes to stay behind. He doesn't like his name coming out.
He's the man behind the curtain, you know?
He's like Batman. Episode 50. He's going to have
to. All right, so to finish these up, Blank from Twitter says, couldn't be bothered. And I think David was feeling you on that one on Saturday. Jesse, who happens to have two cherries by the name Jesse, said, perfect Sam performance. I think Sam did want that performance, so there you go. Yeah. Ben Richardson, also from Twitter, says, Everton still ninth with exclamation points. I'm assuming there are a lot of these with some sarcasm, just saying. Scott Beeman says, above West Brom. This is true. Abayo says,
Fox.
Yeah, these are facts. Abayo says, more bleach, please. That's agree with that.
Must be clean in the bathroom.
And lastly, I did tell you that there was one. I thought I was going to cut out all the gravy ones, but I just like this one from Lee Williams. The summary, the instant match reaction, three words, Bisto gravy granules. That's what I thought when I watched the game.
Wonder who that's about.
Yeah, it's a great note to end on. I'll give you that.
See, I wanted to go weird, so let's do it. So that's all of them. That's everybody. Thank you for everybody for chipping in your three word match reactions. If we didn't read yours, keep doing them. We'll probably do it next time. So
yeah.
Anything else on this dull, dull, dull game that we witnessed on Saturday?
Same old Sam.
SOS, no. Interestingly enough. yeah. So I guess that's it for our Swansea match reaction. So we have decided that we are going to talk a little bit about these recent rumors. Earlier in the week, some stuff hit one of the publications that said Allardyce and Walsh are going to be leaving at the end of the season. I'm guessing that's early May. So there's that rumor. Then there's another rumor that said Marcel Brands from PSV is incoming. It's going to happen. So, of course, Brands came out the past 2 days and commented on his future. Said, yeah, there's been some contact, but I feel it'd be really tough to leave this place. I haven't made a decision yet. But he didn't say no, did he? Never has he said no. And I found that interesting, just saying. Lastly, there is something about the possibility of Mino Raiola functioning as an advisor of sorts for Everton moving forward, which is interesting. Because I didn't know he knew anything. I thought the only thing he saw was green. Yeah. So, be interesting how that plays out. I have no idea how that relationship would really work.
Jerry, are you making an allegation beyond that statement there?
I am saying...
Ooh. Could you clarify for the audience?
I think he doesn't take normal baths like you and I. I think he takes a bath in a pile of cash.
I mean, he does do a lot of expensive transfers, we must admit.
So how will the Mino Raiola thing work? We don't know. And one last additional connection. Supposedly, Moshiri has gotten with Jorge Mendes and said, hey, I want one of your managers, Fonseca or Silva. Interesting, because he represents both of those. So it appears as though if all things go to plan for Moshiri, it's a situation where we may have Mendes and Raiola and connections there helping us get transfers and all that kind of stuff. Similar to
Isn't Mendes the agent of Ronaldo?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
He's a Portuguese agent, and he's the one. Ooh. Mendes has that relationship with Wolves, and that everybody says that's one of the reasons that why they're just blowing up now. So, yeah. Taking all of that stuff into account, all right, how much do you think is actually true? What do you think will actually happen, and how optimistic would you be about the those moves moving forward? Okay, so I have to start with somebody, and since I David was last time, let us start with him. How much do you think of all that stuff I just said is actually true, and what do you think is actually going to happen?
I wish I would have listened now, to be honest. No, I'm messing. The Raiola one is so strange for me because I think to what capacity could a player, a super agent, because he's not just an agent, he's a super agent, isn't he, really? To what capacity could he be involved with a Premier League football club? Because that stinks right off the bat there. And I think about that, you know, you touched on the Wolves connection. There's something not quite right about all that. And, you know, the EFL have got involved in that over the past few months, and it just doesn't sit right. I suppose it's working, but I'm just not convinced how much of a role these agents could actually play in terms of advising the club. Whether it's all just a roundabout way of getting in bed with them so we can get their personnel, it probably sounds about right. If the deal suits both parties, I'm happy with it. I don't particularly like them, especially Raiola, because he is the most obvious money grabber out there. But if there's a way we can benefit from it, then fine. But it needs to make we need to make sure that we are benefiting from any deals that are made. In terms of what's his name from PSV? How did you say his name?
Marcel Brands, I believe.
Brands, yeah. Well, obviously he's been successful at PSV. They've just won the league, haven't they? But I don't know. I'm not convinced by this director of football role. I don't know. Maybe Steve Walsh has just ruined it for me. I'm not convinced by the whole structure. I think it works very well at some levels in around Europe. But I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that one.
Max, it is your turn. All right. What do you think about all this? About all this stuff? How much do you think it's true? What do you think will actually happen, and what's your optimism meter? Where does it stand?
I take into consideration how cautious David is about the whole Raiola and George Mendes scenario. But I think, you know, as Dave said, they very much are super agents, and they are people in the world of football that you know, they transcend the game and make the media. And in my personal opinion, I think that will do the profile of the club and the name Everton Football Club. I really do think that would do us favours. We know the type of names that those two are associated with. And I think, you know, the phrase that Jerry uses every single time, Farhad Mashiri's sexy name, isn't it? You know, he goes after these sexy names in the world of football, and I think it's absolutely fantastic for the profile of the club to what extent they will believe that they'll actually come off. I think that, of course, you need to be cautious because, you know, we're Everton. And
I suppose going off Max's point there is I'm thinking an ethical basis, you know, where the question mark's in. But then you forget that we're talking about probably one of the most unethical sports in the world. So. Yeah. Suppose.
What are you trying to infer there, David?
Are we talking about one of the most unethical sports in the world?
Edward, what are you thinking?
Marcel Brands, if he did come in, I don't know. We did all right with transfers beforehand, before the whole director of football thing even happened. So whether we go back to that, I don't know for sure. As for the whole thing with Sam Allardyce and Steve Walsh, I kind of do hope it happens. As with Mino Raiola, to be honest, if we're getting the decent players with Raiola, then I'll let it slide. But I don't like I don't like any kind of business that we've done with him at all, because it normally just ends bad for us.
Just on the Steve Walsh Allardyce, director of football, situation, I know David criticised the structure that comes along with that. I feel it very much is a European continental approach, and obviously, of course, with the rumours that Alston's going to rugby league, I feel like we're crawling in the right direction, I think is the right phrase. I am a fan of it because I've seen, you know, plenty of examples in Europe of it being, you know, a successful model. And I feel definitely, you know, if, you know, as we say, if Fonseca or Silva comes in, you know, a European manager and, you know, a European director of football, it gives us this very European feel. And I think it's an approach that just, you know, we haven't had it ever, and we've seen it happen at all these other football clubs in the Premier League around us. And I feel if this approach was to be implemented on Everton, I feel it'd be a right step in the project, because we very much are a project club at the minute, as I've said in the past. And I feel like that is a step in the right direction. Last summer and this season, you know, we've made plenty of mistakes. And I think this is an attempt at learning from that by taking a completely different approach.
Yeah. I think if we are going down this route, director of football, we just have to continue to be patient. I mean, I think we have to expect growing pains. It's just going to happen. We got to learn, you know, and that's, I think we've already learned some this season, that you don't appoint for your first time a director of football who's never been a director of football. Yep. I think that's lesson one we learned this season, you know. I actually don't want Walsh gone. I'd like him to stay on as a scout. I think he does have an eye for players. I think he has guided us to some players we wouldn't have necessarily considered. But I think he needs a filter. And I think
any good ones?
I think Jink Tosin plays well. I think it's just a game.
I think Tosin, yeah. But I feel like that was Allardyce's influence, to be honest.
No, I think that was Mashiri.
From what I've heard, is all three of them watched him at one point or another. You know what I mean? And I think behind the scenes, I think each one is trying to take credit for it. But
hasn't Tosin actually come out and said that Allardyce tried to bring him?
He did call him beforehand, but it was during that. Oh yeah, he did, supposedly.
Yeah, so for me, there's the first contact, because obviously Walsh was at Leicester.
I'm just going to go ahead and agree with you, David, and say it probably was Allardyce now, because yeah, that's the only tangible proof we have. You know what I mean?
I just feel like the play, we're not going off the hearsay of either one of them. We're talking about the player said he was the one that refers to Allardyce. And
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to pick holes in Walsh, because like everyone else, I've kind of had enough of him. But yeah. I'll be careful what I say, actually, because you never know who you're going to end up in a room with. So
yeah, see, I don't mind Walsh so much. I do think there's something good there. I think he's had an eye for talent in the past. I think he's done well helping to identify some young players, maybe.
Yeah, I think that comes along with, you know, his role as a scout. As you say, Jerry, I think he's very qualified and adequate at doing his job as a scout, and, you know, very exceptional at that, obviously, as you say. First time in the job as a director of football, and the first time that football club has had a director of football. Obviously, you're going to have weight on your shoulders and responsibilities that, you know, you're not quite used to. And, you know, as you say, it's going to come with growing pains. And if he is to stay on, I wouldn't take a large issue with that, because, as I said, he brought in some plenty good players at Leicester.
See, if we had brought him in as a scout last year, we would have been psyched. Because, he's the guy that found all these players. So that's I'm trying to think about it like that, you know? But he won't be the one in charge at that point then, right?
Yeah. To be fair, actually, some of the signings he has made have worked out well, but I'll just raise one last issue with it. What does a director of football actually do?
So let's figure out let's figure out the nice way to say this.
Oh, man.
I really have to watch that back.
So I mean, no, he's got a really good point though. It actually is a good question.
Oh no, I wasn't actually laughing at you, Edward. I was just laughing at him long ago.
Our reaction was like, how do we actually word this? You know what I mean? Because I think we all have asked that question before, you know?
Yeah.
It functions, for me, it's like a general manager for a pro team here in the States.
The reason why I think that a director of football would be a great thing to happen for Everton is that obviously from the for many, many years, particularly, you know, under David Moyes, the next one up, so to speak, from David Moyes would be the board, would be Ken Wright, would be Elstone, and as we know, their areas of specialty do not lie in football. So to have someone there, I think we were heavily linked with Mark Overmars, and that was a name that I got really excited about because, you know, the profile of the man and how he knows the business. It's just someone that operates within the world of football and handles the football and aspects of things, identifies what the team needs and where the team needs to improve. So I feel like having a man who can do that. Go on.
I was going to say what Max said. I thought that he's answering that very well, so I'm just going to jump on that and let him take all the credit for that.
Typically, someone in that position works with a manager toward bringing in players.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Like,
also, though, they focus on candidates for manager as well, though. Yeah,
like it's football. It's football and operations, basically.
Personnel, football and personnel. You know, yeah. So about the Mino Raiola thing and the Mendes connection. Okay. I think it's another instance where I think Mashiri's trying to learn from last year. I think he's pissed off that we haven't been able to lock down some of these deals, some of them taken forever. I think he finds it embarrassing because you know what? I do too.
Yeah.
That sucks. So I think he's trying to figure out any way to – I think he's getting sick of a big talent saying no to us, or we have this ridiculous back and forth when it comes to negotiation. So I actually am in favor of it, and I hate saying that because I'm not a Raiola fan at all, you know. I think his players that he represents are probably, you know what I mean. He gets his players big moves usually, so so yeah, I like these moves. I think if Bronze comes in, Raiola comes in. And if one of Mendes's managers comes in, I think it can only help the club. You know,
I agree.
David mentions the ethical stuff, I'm scared because I don't know what they would bring, as far as you know, what other dark secrets they bring, you know, in with them.
Yeah,
you know,
that is the only thing you get. You're jumping in with the devil a little bit, aren't you, but. As I said, it's an unethical game these days, so...
Yeah.
The hope is, you know, we've got a pretty ethical foundation at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
I hope. Let's be honest, I don't really know. So...
Yeah, neither do I. I don't think any four of us know anything about anything, so...
No. We're
all just rambling.
They're opinions. They're opinions. Yeah. Just like your arseholes. Everybody's got one. So, guys... deal with that. So anyway, anything else about this, guys? About these possible moves?
Nope.
Yeah, we're conflicted, but it does appear that Everton appears to have learned from last year, which is great.
Yeah.
So
for once.
Yeah. A lesson. It's great.
Season's not all bad, boys.
I hate thinking about it like that. This season was a wash because we just learned stuff. I guess that's it for Allardyce, Walsh, Bronze, Raiola. What will become of us? We should get to a Newcastle preview because that is happening this weekend. Hold on. Like Edward said, it's not this weekend. It's Monday. Monday Night Football, y'all. Yeah.
When was the last time we actually had Monday Night Football?
I don't know. I hate it's playing on question. Mondays. I don't like Saturday not mattering. You know what I mean? Even if we get crap results lately, I still look forward to it. Because I'm going to be sad when the season's over, you know?
Oh, I'm not.
I know. I miss it.
You get to watch them on TV, Jerry. That's not Sebastian.
Oh, see, that's a really good point right there. That is the difference, what Edward just said. Keep that in mind, me.
Well, to be fair, it's a little bit easier when it's a World Cup year. You know, you get to watch that.
I know, but you can't stay in front of him. Otherwise, he goes on his 10-minute run.
Who's this? About the USA national team.
Tears in the eyes.
Guys, did you know that USA did not qualify for the World Cup this year? No.
Okay, I'm gonna be cutting to this really big picture of my middle finger right now. All right, so Newcastle, eh? here's a bunch of stuff about Newcastle. All right. They're sitting 10th in the table. Yeah, they have 41 points. They're 11, 8, and 14. And they have a game in hand over us.
Crap.
So there's that. Their past three matches, 2-1 over Arsenal, 2-1 over Leicester, 1-0 over Huddersfield, and they've won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
So
is there some sort of record that they need now?
Because we always give that up, right? So anyway, let's discuss their possible lineup. And frankly, it's their lineup from last week. So, yeah. Dubravka in goal. And, of course, the U.S. references just keep coming. DeAndre Yedlin in their back line. At right back. Lachelles? Or Lascelles. That's a good player, though. I've watched him play. He's solid. Lejeune. I think it's Paul Dummett. Matt Ritchie. Jonjo Shelvey. Mo Diame. Kennedy. From Chelsea, who has done quite well over there.
Yeah.
Jose Perez. Dwight Gale. You might see some Islam Slimani at some point because I think he's healthy again. What was that?
I said, "Ooh, yay!" Yeah, target
so,
man.
So I mean,
that'll be fun.
They're in good form right now, guys. So that's a thing. I think our danger men. I think you got to look at Kennedy. You got to look at Jose Perez and Dwight Gale does score goals, even though I wouldn't have pinpointed him as a danger man early on in the season.
And now you've said it, he'll score a hat-trick at them.
Yeah, I think Dubravka's been playing exceptionally well as well.
Yeah, he has. He really has.
Yeah. I'd say all the signings they've made in January have turned up.
Yeah, I think, as you say there, it's been signings in particular. I think a lot of Newcastle fans would have said themselves, the way Rafa Benitez has managed to turn their season around has been, you know, quite spectacular, really. They had ultimately a championship-level team competing in the Premier League. And as Edward said there, the signings that they've brought in and what Rafa's managed to do with them, as you say, you know, four games unbeaten now, they're doing really well. And they can go above us if they beat us, can't they?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Even if they win their game in hand.
Mm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're really close to them. It's not, I don't know. I'd rather not finish below them, just saying. So, a possible lineup. I think we're all pretty much on the same page with what we think he's going to do in this one. Pickford, Coleman, Keane, Jelka, Baines. I think we all know that's happening, right? Unless he, some reason, throws something in the
who knows more works.
Just let's run five in the back.
I'd like to see Ashley Williams given another go.
Nah. Oh, bold.
Those of you on the podcast can't see his face when he said that.
I'm just making sure everybody's still awake. That's all.
Yes. There's a chance. I don't know. He may go Funes Mori with four Keane for one of those guys because maybe he's trying to get do them a favor and let them get warmed up for World Cup. He put Vlahovic in. He put Funes Mori in, and he's been playing Michael Keane like crazy. Maybe he's trying to get those guys some World Cup appearances. I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past the club to have instructed him to do that. Let's put it that way. That's the, you know, keeper in back four. Gay, Schneiderlin, yeah. I think we know that's happening.
Will it, though?
I would think. Will it?
I'd actually be as bold to say he'd go Rooney and Davies in instead. I think he'll go for it. I genuinely think he'll go for it because it's at home and it's against a former team of his. And he doesn't really like Newcastle either.
So you think he'll go Gay, Rooney, Davies?
Yep.
As the three central... I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to be Gay, Schneiderlin, and Rooney just because he's a stubborn, you know... I'll not say a bad word here. Edward thinks he goes Davies and no Schneiderlin, and I think he's going to do pretty much the same thing as last time. Walcott, Bolasie, and Tosin.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Do we pretty much agree that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think that's what he'll go for.
Now, I would prefer DCL over Bolasie.
Okay? Yeah, I literally wouldn't start Bolasie again this season. I think he has to earn his place from the bench. He has to come on and do something to kind of earn his shirt at the moment.
I'd agree.
Yeah. I've got a piece coming out on Bolasie sometime soon, just because, you know, his performance have just been really subpar, haven't they, really? He hasn't produced enough.
Will they be able to check that out, Max?
Yeah, they will, but, you know, with it being four of us, there's no time for plugs, mate.
a modest man right there, yeah.
I want to see Calvert-Lewin get back in that side after you know, his influence on the derby.
He looked good.
I really want to see Calvert-Lewin come back in.
Yeah, that's the main one that I would like to see. I also wouldn't mind seeing, I wouldn't mind seeing somebody come in for Rooney.
I've got I'd go with the same back line and keep it. My midfield, as David said, the season really is dead now. I'd mix it up in the midfield. I'd go Klaassen, Gay, and Vlasic.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun to watch.
Exactly. You know, you've got the kind of... I don't want to say lackadaisical because I think that's quite insulting to his style, but, you know, the one-touch, two-touch style of Klaassen and, you know, the high-energy and press of Vlasic and Gay, I think they complement each other quite well.
I'd love to see that. I'm glad you said that. Yes. I don't say that often to anybody. I usually just nod my head and do this. But no, that's great. I love that idea. Just because I have no idea what the hell would happen.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
You know?
Just like we've been saying literally all season, just go for it.
Yeah, I just worry he's not going to take Rooney out after Rooney got, you know, I feel like he's going to keep starting Rooney because of the, you know, anger at the derby.
I'd still start Rooney.
I wouldn't.
I'd start him. I wouldn't keep him for the whole 90, but
definitely
I'd say
not the 90.
Start Rooney and then maybe bring on Klaassen for him. Mm. Or start Klaassen and then bring Rooney on later to like alter out the different style of play, like Max says, to do like the one-touch football Klaassen and then like the long ball, but the correct pass from Rooney and that.
Mm. David, what are you thinking, Dave?
It's difficult because, as I've said in the previous video, we're looking at friendly games with Premier League tags at the moment. It's another nothing game. I suppose the only difference with this one maybe is Newcastle are right on our heels, so we'd probably like to build a bit of space between us and them, just in terms of at least finishing in top 10.
For the sake of ninth and for tenth, I think, you know, the experiment's worth it, in my opinion. You know,
my issue is though, which is all right. Joking aside, I pulled the face when you asked me there, but I have no belief that he will experiment. So it's hard for me to get excited over that idea because I don't believe he will. You know, And for me, well, for all hopers this year, yeah, we think, why wouldn't you put Klaassen in there? You've got the former Ajax captain sitting in your reserves. Get him in. Vlasic, Sharp, let's get him in. Who else can we put in? You know, mix it up a little bit. You've got nothing to lose. But I don't know. I think he just wants to just limp over the line. Whatever line he's built for himself, he wants to get over there without...
To be honest, if you're using that metaphor, I think in his own opinion and in his own estimation, I think he's very much, he thinks he's over the line anyway.
Then yeah, why is he playing for draws?
But in his head, I genuinely think he would think, I don't want to risk getting another defeat this season, so let's just...
Well, hasn't he actually said in press conferences, apparently he said... With Klaassen, I'd love to give Klaassen a go, but then if he doesn't play well, it's me that gets the discredit in that. Not
exactly,
Klaassen.
Edwards. Yeah, I think that's exactly it, mate. I think it's. I still just think in his head, he's more bothered about losing than winning. I don't think he wants to risk any unknown. I think it's just going to be another dull game. Wouldn't surprise us if we won. Wouldn't surprise us if we didn't. It's just, it's
just nothing now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just really
Maybe
flat.
Games come to that.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of the possibility of some of these newer players starting to get integrated. Some of the younger players getting some minutes. I like seeing younger players who don't. If Vlasic plays, I can't wait to see him get some time and actually get the ball because he barely touched it. On Saturday, because he had hardly any time. I'd love to see. Yeah. These are the things that I'm really excited about when it comes to. But I agree with David. I don't think he's going to experiment much. I think he's thinner skinned than he acts like he is, and I think he doesn't like it when people are giving him grief. And I don't think he wants to lose any games coming up. You know, and so he'll play not to lose. You know. That's what I see happening. Although I will say, I want what Max said. I want him to play that. I'd love to see it. It'd just be fun. And you know what? If we get pelted, then it happened when we were trying to give kids experience.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, Edward said something earlier about I think it was a joke you said there about we won't see Vlasic again now. You know, this is what he did do with Klaassen. He brought him on for that kind of, was it about 15 minutes?
Against Brighton.
And we thought, oh, he's going to maybe phase him in for the last part of the season. Has he even been making the match squad since?
Not this past week.
Not at all.
It wouldn't surprise me if Vlasic was nowhere near the bench on the weekend or Monday. Never mind in the starting 11. It's like... I don't know, it's like he plays a sick game with his players, you know, where he kind of brings them in and just sucks them back out. So.
He's either doing that or he's cycling through trying to show them that working hard in practice will put them on the bench. You know what I mean? Like, so it could be he's using the match day squad as incentive to work hard to get to meet your certain, there's certain levels he wants you to meet in terms of data. You know what I mean? Certain stats he wants you to meet in practice to be able to earn your way there. So maybe he thinks Vlasic did it, and that's why he's on. And maybe that's why Klaassen sometimes does it. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, you know? Because being a masochist and being playing sick games, well, that's terrible. I'm trying to think maybe there's a reason for it. And that's the only thing I could think of.
Like, I'll give like a special mention. Like, I'll say, like, my dad was a bit of a supporter of Allardyce in the way that he wanted him to do well. He wanted to give him a chance and get him to do well. And he actually made a good point to me and said, well, Allardyce should use this time now that we've not got anything, we've got out of relegation in a way. He'd use this time to actually give the players another go, or he'd get at least a go, and if we lost games, but at least if he explained to fans, instead of just keeping it all to himself, or just basically saying the stuff that we don't want to hear, like you say, playing these sick games and that, at least if he was honest and said, we'll go for it in this game, if we lose, we're sorry, but we'll go for it. Mm-hmm. I think fans would be a lot more accepting and would think, maybe we'll stick with him for another season. You know, if he went for it, but like now I think he's just he's lost everyone, he's lost the players and that. And I've heard rumors that apparently there's like mini revolutions and that going on behind
a lot of clicks
behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, why
said that months ago, didn't we, about the clicks?
Yeah.
Said you can tell the team's full of it, you know, where certain players don't seem to be close to other players and
yeah,
that type of thing.
I don't know, Edward, I agree with you. I mean, I think he also resents that defensive park the bus reputation that he has. I think he hates it. And why not use now to, you know, set up attacking sides, prove that you can manage attacking football teams. You know what I mean? Actually break out of that. Why not? What do you literally have to lose?
He hates the label, but he just doesn't choose to take it off, basically.
Yep. He's so scared of losing face that he doesn't take a risk.
Mm.
You know?
Fair point, gentlemen.
So
no greater danger than playing it safe.
Guys, anything else about this? I mean, I'd say the only possibility that maybe gets us the slightest bit excited is that maybe some people will get to play who don't normally get to play.
Have we done our score predictions?
No. No, we should do that. Max first, then David.
2-1 the Blues.
David.
1-1.
Edward.
3-0. He's going to go for it, I think.
I'm going to go with, 1-1. That's...
Ooh.
Somebody always manages to steal my thunder, and this time it's David. Thanks, man.
Why do you know you should you've known from previous experiences that you should go first with the score prediction. then you don't get into these little moods.
It's okay. I'm not if I was genuinely hurt or upset, I would go first. You know? But nothing hurts me. I'm impervious.
Oh, Madison.
That's totally untrue. I'm a sensitive it's ridiculous. So that's it then, guys. Edward predicts a huge blowout. Max predicts a narrow victory. And David and I predict another snooze fest draw. Yeah.
Miserable sods.
Yeah, we are, David and I. But we are, I will point out, we're older and possibly a little more jaded. I love you. Like how David likes how I just grouped him in with the 40-year-old. Just saying.
Yeah. So, I'm so happy with that. Clearly, I need a shave or something to just bring those years back down and stay away from the OAP over there.
You see, that's why I shaved, so I could look more youthful. Just saying. I guess that's it. That is the end of our Newcastle preview, and that is also the end of our 50th podcast, 50th anniversary. We've done 50 of these things. All right. Happy anniversary, guys. I bought you boring American opinions. So guys, that's it. Thanks a lot for tolerating me for this long, guys. Hopefully we can make this continue. That would be awesome.
To 100.
Yes. Yes, 100. Who knows when 100 will happen? Midsummer, when we're talking about random transfer rumors, or early in the 2018-19 campaign. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the podcast people, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. If you're digging our YouTube channel, please subscribe. We're trying to get those subs up. That'd be sweet. We do have a caption contest. Here is the photo. And now you've seen it. There you go. What do you think? I anticipate a lot of people comparing Big Sam to a frog because he does look like a cartoon frog at times. So, yeah. Throw your comments down below in the comments.
Ravy frog.
Throw your captions down there in the comments. That's what I meant to say. I guess that's it, guys. Thanks so much. Much love to you. For David, Max, Edward, and myself, who is called Jerry, thanks a lot. All right, and anything else, guys?
No.
All right.
Thank you for getting us to episode 50.
Happy 50th. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for that. Appreciate it. All right. I'm out. Bye.
Adios.